Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Thank you very much indeed for that, Carol. Everybody's talking about the cost of living crisis in the country. An awful lot of business people are talking about the cost of doing business in this country as well. The employers group IBEC, well, they've written to the Taoiseach to highlight concerns about the rising cost of doing business in this country. They say that the pace and scale of government-imposed labour costs, including the minimum wage of $12.70 an hour, risks creating the most significant cost competitiveness challenge faced by Irish business since the pre-financial crisis, they say. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by Labour Party Senator and spokesperson on employment affairs, Marie Sherlock, and also by Neil MacDonald, who's Chief Executive of the Irish Association for Small and Medium Enterprises, ISME. You're both very welcome to the programme. Neil, I might come to you first of all, because I sense there's an element of I told you so coming from ISME on this one, because you wrote to the Taoiseach some weeks ago on this.
Well, in fact, we wrote last year in July 23, our chairman, Mark O'Dwyer, wrote to the Taoiseach in July last year, Cormac, explaining that while we understood the desire of government to increase the minimum wage to a living wage over a period of time, the adjustment that we've seen this year is just too large, and the effect that's having, you're now seeing play out in the real world in the way that we did suggest. We were very explicit in our warnings to government at that time, mm-hmm. That this would lead to particular difficulties, and we've seen it now play out in public in the hospitality sector. But I can tell you that exactly the same pressures are being felt in childcare and nursing homes in particular, where the government acts as a quasi-regulator, and there are people exiting those sectors also at a rate of knots.
Really? So struggling to survive, basically?
Yes, because not alone is the government forcing an increase in their wage bill by legislative fiat, but at the same time, they are preventing them from recovering that from customers via increased fees in childcare or nursing homes. That's just the reality now, and there's no way that a lot of those can bridge the gap other than simply to cease operations.
Did you get a response from the Taoiseach?
We didn't. I mean, we have been engaging with government, and most especially in the enterprise forum and the retail forum. But we were promised, the area where we were promised action was in a comprehensive report on the effect of the consolidated changes to the labour price in a report by the Department of Enterprise before Christmas. We haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of concern to us that we haven't seen
that report. You're not going to accuse this government, who have kept business afloat right through the pandemic period, and even in the last budget, offering business various tax incentives to keep going and employ and recruit and research and so on. You're not going to accuse them of not helping business, are you?
It's not a question of not helping at all, Cormac. I mean, and it really is important to understand that this is not the difference between paying a worker $11.30 an hour or $12.70 an hour. In certain sectors, this the increase in labour costs that have come in January, mm-hmm. 2024 are the difference between having a job and being on job seekers allowance. That's the difference.
The difference is that stark. Say with me, Neil, if you can, 51551, the texts are coming in already from business and employers and employees as well. Marie Sherlock, you've called business groups gutless. Why?
Well, I suppose I'm dismayed by the statement by IBEC today, and indeed, we noted what Ismay said a number of weeks ago as well. We have a situation in this country, and there's no doubt about it, within lots of communities right now, where there are many small and micro enterprises who are under savage pressure. They're employing 1, 2, 3 people. They have massive increases in their energy bills. They've seen VAT go up from 9% to 13.5% if they're in hospitality, and of course they've got thousands due now because of the end of the tax warehousing. And the response has literally been to go after their workers. And it really beggars belief.
What do you mean? Why does it beggar belief? If the payroll is increasing and it's due to government action, as Neil has said, Why not make that clear?
Well, actually, the very point I'm making is that there's lots of other contributory factors to why businesses are under pressure, and I just outlined them there, like the VAT, like the increase in energy costs, and because there's thousands that of taxes that have been warehoused since the pandemic that are now falling due in May.
Well, I understand the point you're making. Why single out the low-paid workers, Neil, then, out of all of those issues?
It's not a question. I really don't understand what Marie is suggesting, that employers are going after workers. I mean, to be honest, Cormac, this is far too serious for... I appreciate that platitudes like that will appeal to a certain public.
It's not
that,
a platitude,
Marie,
in fairness.
No, it absolutely is,
no,
Marie.
But the response,
We're talking about people who are going... Marie, could you please not interrupt me when I'm speaking? We are talking about people who are going to lose perfectly good jobs because their employers are unable to pay the increase in wages that has come in the last
year. Can I ask you this? Can I ask you this? Because Marie,
and what is critical here is that we have a bit of imagination, right? So rather than going after workers and the lowest common denominator, particularly the lowest income workers, and calling for a pause to the national minimum increases over the next number of years, we have to talk about in terms of the government spends 17 billion euros every year on public procurement. What is the government doing to support small and medium enterprises across this country and decent jobs? Number two, with regards to VAT, I personally take the view that when we look at hospitality, you've got massive enterprises within the hotel industry who were benefiting from the reduced VAT rate alongside the coffee shop who might be employing two or three. Now, we need to make a distinction between the two. And then particularly with regards to the VAT, with regards to the warehousing of taxes, we have to see an arrangement put in place. But the other critical thing is that we saw the government effectively give 250 million to all rateable businesses in the first quarter of this year in respect of the national minimum increase. Now, I haven't heard a dicky bird from IBEC or indeed from ISMI today talking about that 250 million. Now, we've had an issue with that 250 million because we believed it needed to be targeted to the businesses that are under the most pressure,
Neil's
not given to every
basically.
Business.
Neil's clients, basically. Is that what you're saying? Targeted towards smaller businesses?
Well, absolutely. Any business that's under pressure, that we need to have supports in place. Like, at the end of the day, I want to see businesses stay open. Neil wants to see businesses stay open. Going after pay can't be the only option. There has to be other factors. And the other side of it is...
You know, hang on, before you go on, you asked a fair question, I think. Why, out of all of those issues, and they're all legitimate, valid points to make from a business point of view, why do you single out, though, the increase in the minimum wage? That's going to rankle with people, Neil.
We haven't singled it out at all, Cormac. What you're doing is just repeating some rhetoric from a Labour politician who fully supports an unmanageable increase in the minimum wage. Can I just say
I'm repeating
to you
the question so you answer and give
and
context.
Supporting
yeah.
a
can I just
decent
say to you,
pay
Cormac,
for all
yeah,
workers.
Well, okay, let's hear Neil.
But I mean, by saying continuously repeating the mantra of decent pay, you're suggesting that people are being paid indecently, which again is great spin, but it doesn't pay any wages. Can I just say, in relation to the quarter of a billion in support that the senator has mentioned, that will come to about 6-7% of the increase in payroll costs that's been experienced. And the maximum that can be claimed by a business under that scheme is 5,000 euro, which is roughly equivalent to the increase in the minimum wage for 1.5 employees. So it's not remotely enough to address
Am
the
I wrong then?
Am I
wrong, Neil, in listening to you and thinking that you think Marie is out of touch here with business people?
Well, I mean, Cormac, if I'm asked to believe what Marie is saying, she's suggesting that employers are going out of business to teach government a lesson. They're going out of business because they're not able to continue trading.
Marie?
That is absolutely scurrilous. Like, I've just said that I want to see businesses stay open. Neil obviously wants to see businesses stay open. The key issue here is that we have a bit of imagination about how we try and keep businesses open. And like, you know, I'm not saying that ISMI we're talking about going after to wage cuts, but IBEC certainly talked this morning, not wage cuts, about pausing the national minimum wage increases into the future. That's what IBEC's position was as of this morning. And
sure,
I think the reality here is that we need to have a look at what businesses are faring poorly and what businesses are doing well, and we can't just have a blanket approach that we just ensure that the pay of the lowest paid is put on
so
pause.
So you're not in favour. You would totally reject what Ivic was calling for, a pause for all future market policy measures.
Absolutely. And can I tell you what I believe is the real reason behind all this, right? Is that there's a number of measures that are coming in this year, right? There's three types of measures. Number one, there's various types of leave. Like, you know, we have already sick pay. It's going from 3 days to 5 days. Now, not everybody is going to be sick, right? Not everybody is going to take up the 5 days. Not everybody is going to suffer domestic violence in the workplace. Not everybody is going to need carers leave, right? So that leave is a contingency. Not everybody will need it. But employers will often try to say, oh, well, this is going to be an increase in my labour cost. It's not, right? Number two, then, we have at auto-enrolment coming in. And I think this is the real reason behind the ire of employers at the moment. Employers have had 17 years, almost 18 years, to prepare for auto-enrolment of pensions within the workplace, whereby they contribute to the pensions of their workers, the state contributes, and a worker contributes. The reality in this country is that over half of all workers in this state do not have a pension. And with the growing numbers who are renting into old age, renting into retirement, yeah, we have a very serious issue with how people are going to live. And the thing
what
is, and I think employers
it,
are very put out about this auto enrollment.
What if the business can't pay for it?
Well, the thing is, we have, and certainly myself and the rest of my Labour Party colleagues have spoken for years about an inability to pay clause, which we have in the minimum wage legislation, and which, to my understanding, has never once been taken up by any
company.
There
you go. There
right?
you go, Neil. There's a get out of jail card
sure
for any struggling business, but it's not taken up.
There is a very good reason. She's absolutely right that employers don't go into the Labour Court and claim inability to pay, because if you go into the Labour Court and you say, I'm unable to pay my wage bill, you will not be able to, you will not have a line of credit with your bank, you will not have an overdraft, you will cease to be able to trade in very short order. So that inability to pay clause is purely daft. It's optics. Everyone knows it is, but it's very easily trotted out in a debate like this.
Oh, okay.
And sorry, just to clarify, my understanding is that if you were to go into the Labour Court, it would actually it wouldn't be published. So I think that notion that all of a sudden it would be blasted all over the newspapers and that you wouldn't be able to engage with your bank, to my mind, is pure nonsense.
Marie Sherlock Neil says that she rejects IBEC's call for all future market policy measures to be paused. And I'm sure you agree with that. Or do you agree with that? Auto-enrolment for pensions, for example, should that be paused now?
No, we have lobbied for auto-enrolment, Cormac, for years because of the inadequate pension provision among a lot of workers. The difficulty for us now, and as we pointed out to the Taoiseach last July, is we have had a really significant adjustment in the wage cost base for the 300,000 odd small businesses in the country, and they're not able to pass that on in the market. Either customers are unwilling to pay.
So how can you do auto-enrolment then of pensions? That's off the cards, is it?
Well, Cormac, some businesses, of course, are going to be able to pay
1.5%
and more. What's
your stance on it, though? Are you saying yes to auto-enrolment or no?
We are saying absolutely yes to auto-enrolment. What we're also asking government to recognise, you know, relative to the adjustment in the national minimum wage, which will leverage all wages, not just those between 11.30 and 12.70 an hour, but actually all wages up to 15 euros an hour, is those businesses that can't pay that, not alone are you going to see workers going on the dole or been forced to retrain very quickly and move somewhere else, you're also going to see a negative hit on social welfare as people move into claiming job seekers' allowances.
So let me read some text before I give you a final word, Marie. Mick says, two very good restaurants in my town closing in the next few days. Huge loss. Are these employers suggesting leave the workers out of pocket and not afford to live? If cost of living is high, we need money to live, says Mick. Another, I own a small restaurant employing 25 in the countryside in Kildare. We turn over €750,000 per year and don't make a penny after costs. If you calculate out the increase in wages, holiday pay, bank holiday pay, etc., we're actually paying €17 per hour worked. If you add in the tips student waiters receive, which are tax-free, your typical college student working is on an equivalent of €30,000 per annum on a like-for-like basis. Happy to send on the workings. Government have completely lost the plot. We're all screwed, frankly, says Atnister. One more. Employers PRSI is a hidden tax that a lot of employees don't even realise is being paid for them. This has increased pro-rata to the minimum wage. Government should be straight up and fix this and make it part of the employees' minimum pay. And let me put this to you, Marie Sherlock. We're getting some texts from various people who are saying that politicians don't run a business, they don't understand the pressures, they're totally clueless. What's your response?
Well, I suppose just to say, my former role as a trade union official, I had to stand in many workplaces where there was workers and managers faced with the awful situation of closure or wage cuts because of where they were. So I do understand workplaces, right? And as I've said repeatedly in this interview, I want workplaces to stay open. But we have to change the sad old song, the sad old tune that we have every time there's a conversation about businesses in trouble, and it's to go after workers' pay. And we have to look at how else we can support business in this country. And I said at the top of this conversation, like, you know, the state spends about €17 billion per year in public procurement, right? And it buys all sorts of goods and services. And, yeah, and this has never been part of the conversation about how it supports businesses.
We'll,
so there's lots of other initiatives we can do, Marie, to actually support those who are least, those businesses who are actually in
Marie
trouble at
Sherlock
the moment.
Marie Sherlock of Labour, thank you very much indeed. Neil MacDonald of Ismay as well, thank you. 51551.